Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 13 April 2022, and our theme song again tonight, This Is War, certainly fits our guest tonight. We're going to talk in a couple minutes to Pastor Otto Pulaski. I'm going to let him share his testimony. And I may share some things that happened when he's in prison for 51 days. I watched him with a testimony on Rebel News Online, and I was touched. And I'm honored to talk to this man. I really mean that. Before we go to our guests, though, a couple very quick announcements. We'll be in the office tomorrow, being Thursday, from 9 to 4. Have any questions, comments, you give us a call tomorrow, okay? We're going to have church this coming weekend. Y'all know about that. I'm going to skip through that because I'm going to get to our guests. But also, for those of y'all who gave to the orphanage in Uganda, Brother Mike sent us pictures today. I mailed them out to everybody on our email list. But if you sent funds to go to Uganda, they received them. And if you have an email, I'll send you the pictures of them and all the food they bought and the children they're feeding. He even sent pictures of the receipts to show that he bought food and necessities with the funds we sent to Uganda. So I want to thank all of you on behalf of Mike and myself even, for the help you give to feed this orphanage in Uganda. So if you'd like to see the pictures, send me email address. Just send it to pastorbutch@startmail.com. pastorbutch@startmail.com. And I will forward the pictures to you so you can look the pictures of Brother Mike, the orphanage, and all the food they bought with the funds you sent them. Thank you all so much. Now, our guest tonight, folks, is a hero of the church. He's a man of integrity and courage, commitment, fortitude. What other word to use to describe this gentleman? I wish he was closer, so I could shake his hand and buy him a hamburger or something and let him know how much I appreciate his stance. He's from Canada. And Canada right now is worse off than we are when it comes to religious freedoms, liberty in Christ. And Brother Pastor Arthur has paid the price for his stand for the glory of God. And brother, are you there?
Yes, thank you so much again for having me on your broadcast.
Oh, brother, it is our honor. Believe me, it is our honor. All the world people listening to you right now, and believe me, they respect you and they love you and they're praying for you and they try to help. I want you to share what the Holy Spirit puts on your heart tonight. I'd like for you to maybe very quickly for the new listeners. Tell us how you went to jail in the first time. You've been arrested, what, about 15 times now? Is that about right?
Yeah, 16 times.
16 times, missed about one, okay. And just because of your stand for Christ, and folks, he wouldn't close his church because of the COVID hoax, he stood up to him. It's been a battle for him for the last 2 years. He even tried to burn his house down. I mean, all this has happened to this pastor, Otto Pulaski, for his stand for Christ and for those he's trying to serve. And brother, you take off and you share what you want to share. Maybe your last time in jail, you share your testimonies. I mean, I know you witnessed the people while you're in there. I know that the cell block you were on become the most peaceful block in there because of your testimony. You share what's on your heart tonight.
Yes, for the people that did not hear the story, it started many, many years ago, but in 2005, I finally walked away from my business and I started to feed the homeless people on the streets of Calgary. And I have been doing this part-time for years before that, but 2005, we grew. We took 600 people off the streets, and the government noticed. And instead of rewarding us, I started to receive tickets for giving free goods and services, for illegal distribution of printed material, Bibles, gospel tracts, illegal gatherings, church services, you name it. Within a 10-year period, the war, a 10-year war, I call it, from 2005 to 2015, I received over 300 citations, and that was 11 arrests, over 100 court cases. In 2006, I was arrested for the first time for my crime, in quote, my crime of reading the Bible in a public park without amplification. Just to six of our parishioners, police showed up. I was handcuffed, arrested, thrown in jail, and I faced a year prison for that crime. I won that, and it triggered this ongoing, never-ending at that time battle. Most of the time I spent with the lawyers or in the court rooms, then in the churches, believe it or not, preaching. So it was very interesting. 2015, we finally won our last case. The city of Calgary made peace with us, and they left us be, restored our permits until 2020, when they have found a new way to attack, to steal our God and state-given rights. When I became the first Canadian to receive a COVID ticket, $1,200 for my crime, well, I refused to shut down the soup kitchen. My reasoning for that was, if we're truly in the middle of the greatest pandemic, then the homeless people need me more than ever. You're shutting down the shelters, you're shutting down the places where they can get food, and you are sending 15,000 people to roam the streets of our cities. That just does not make any sense. We need to feed them. If we don't feed them, if people like us will not feed them, they're going to whack your mother's head, they're going to break into your house, they're going to break into your garage, they're going to steal what they need. I mean, every man needs to eat. The government disagreed. I appealed it to the mayor, I appealed it to the premier, and no one cared. I end up with 12 officers and threats of arrest and $1 million worth of tickets. Fast forward, every single week the police was coming, intimidating, harassing. I end up with 40 COVID tickets worth millions of dollars, which, by the way, I am still fighting in court. 2 years later, I am still in the middle of the court battle with the city of Calgary for my crime of feeding the homeless people during the COVID.
Brother, you said they fined you millions of dollars?
Yes, because here is how it works. The first time they give you $1,200, then the next one is, I think, up to $100,000, and the next one is up to $1 million, and it goes up. So every ticket that you get for the same crime, the price goes up. And I know of people in the States as well, they received like $100 million already for not shutting down their gym or restaurant. So that's the game they play. It's a psychological warfare. It's a terror. They are terrorizing people with those enormous, crazy fines or the threats of arrest. And that's exactly what they were doing to me. I think the worst thing that happened during 2020 was when the government declared that they're shutting down the Christmas. I'm sure you remember when,
yes,
when they said,
yes.
We have to shut down the Christmas because if you have your parents at home for dinner or your brother for coffee, the whole neighborhood is going to die, and it might overwhelm the health system. It should overwhelm the healthcare system. That was what we were being told. And Halloween, just a month before, that was no problem. The politicians would say to our kids, oh, have a nice time and be careful, you know, watch, but hey, have a good time. But Christmas was a deadly force. So we knew that this whole thing is a hoax, it's a lie from the pit of hell. So I invited people to the biggest Christmas celebration in the country, and a lot of people showed up. Also 100 police officers, 52 police cars, SWAT team, chief of police, and I end up with 15 more COVID tickets for that crime caroling and giving hundreds of gifts away during Christmas for the homeless. We had AAA steaks, barbecues, and caterers, and I end up in court, which I am still fighting as we speak right now. Then they started to show up in our church building because I pastor two churches. One is a church that feeds hundreds of people on the streets of Calgary, and another one in the building where I teach history and theology. So they started to come to our building. First, they would block the driveway. Then they would take a telescopic cameras and take pictures of our women and children. And then, of course, exactly a year ago, during our Passover, during our Easter celebration, that they entered our church building where I told them Nazis are not welcome, get out. And they did, and that video was watched over a billion times around the world. And most of the people know me from that interaction. As you know, they came back with a vengeance. They came back with a crooked judge's order. His name is David Gates, and I'm not sure if he's related to your crook, Bill Gates, but David Gates of Alberta, the judge, gave them the power to arrest me and anybody else that would dare to stop them from entering, harassing and intimidating our parishioners. And they said that the document said that they can use any force deemed necessary to tackle me, arrest me anywhere within the city of Calgary. So they showed up, SWAT team showed up, I kicked them again, they showed up again, I kicked them again. And then they came with another crooked judge's order. This judge, his name is Rook. Rook has given them power to arrest every child, every man, woman, old, young, within the province of Alberta that would not wear a mask, that would not social distance, that would oppose their crooked, lying, unscientific mandates. So they came back, SWAT team again, and then they entered the church. It was packed, so they withdrew themselves, waited for the people to go home, and then arrested me in the middle of the highway in a high-stake highway takedown of Escobar, if you will, in the middle of the busy highway. I was arrested. My brother David was arrested as well. We spent 3 days, 2 nights in prison, in jail, actually, where they did not allow us to sleep. We are still in court for that. We faced a big trial when the judge, as you remember, gave me a compelled speech, said that every time I open my mouth, I have to give the party line, telling yes. people that masks do work, that vaccines save lives, all the lie from CNN and CBC, the propaganda. Of course, we refused to say it, risking arrests, where eventually another judge from the higher courts put a stay to this until we're going to face the courts, which is an appeal court in June. Then I got arrested again when I went to the States and came back, coming out of the plane on tarmac, faced criminal charges. This time the charges were inciting people to come to church, officiating an illegal gathering, church service, and participating in illegal gathering, the church service, based on the Rook's order. I'm facing criminal charges as the first Canadian to be facing criminal charges for such a court order. Fast forward, we decided to protest the crooked politicians because, as you know, there was the Premier of Alberta, Jason Kenney, Minister of Finance, Steves, Minister of Environment, Jason Nixon, and Minister of Health, Taylor Shandro, were caught red-handed breaking the same Rook's order that we did, in quote, with my brother David, and they were caught red-handed. Of course, no arrests, no tickets, no courts for those boys because, like I said at the very beginning, there's one law for me and another law for D. The right. Premier apologized, and there was nothing to be done to him while we are still facing charges and courts. So we decided to protest that in front of the house of the Minister of Health. Why? Because we send mails and phone calls to those people and they ignore us. Our politicians completely ignore those that elected them, so we decided to go outside his house. It was peaceful. After the peaceful protest, me and my brother David were arrested in the middle of the highway, in the middle of the snow again. Then I was attending another rally in Leduc, which is about 3 hours from Calgary. On the way back, I was arrested by RCMP. RCMP is like your FBI in the middle of the highway, facing additional criminal charges for me being at the Canada Post trying to retrieve my registered mail. I was told that I'm being charged with trespassing and disturbing peace when I showed up inside Canada Post with my documents of medical exemption. They said I was not wearing a mask, even though I have a medical exemption, but they don't care, and I was criminally charged. Then, believe it or not, I attended rallies, and our rallies have grown. Where my last rally was 20,000 people, and that was Saturday. And then Thursday, I was asked to come and conduct a church service at the Montana border. And I'm sure you've heard about the truck convoy that went all the way to Ottawa. So our church was feeding the truckers, supporting the truckers, and I was invited to conduct a series of church services and prayers for those people, which I did in Calgary. And then I was invited to Milk River. It's 14 kilometers from Montana border, which I did. RCMP was recording me, but there was no incidents. I talked to them. They said nothing. They didn't tell me I am not allowed to be here. I cannot say anything. And I prayed for the people. I conducted Lord's Supper. I gave a speech. We had music. And then we went to our cars, and there was a blockade done by RCMP, about 40 police cars. I talked to them. They opened the blockade, and they allowed me to drive all the way to Coutts. No one told me we're not allowed to be here. We are not allowed to speak. We're not allowed to conduct church service. I end up in Coutts doing what I do. I did a Lord's Supper. I did church service, and I gave a 19-minute speech to encourage the truckers to stand on their charter rights and freedoms, on their constitution. I told them not to give up. I reminded them about my history of solidarity movement in Poland. I've seen with my own eyes the power of the unified people and what the people can do when they come together. I told them to hold the line, but do it peacefully. During my speech, three times I said to them, this is not a fight with guns and swords. This is a peaceful resistance. This is non-compliance. We need to paralyze their system by refusal to work for those people. Just don't go to work. Paralyze their system by refusing to cooperate with a pharaoh that thinks that we are his slaves. There was no problems. The roads were open when I came in. The roads were open when I left. And then somehow I attended another rally in Calgary, and then another one in another city. And Tuesday morning, when I stepped out of my house, I mean, this was absolutely crazy, because there was undercover police vehicles. They were RCMP officers. They were cruisers, police, Calgary, undercover detectives. Oh, it was a gong show. It was like the greatest takeover of Escobar or El Chapo or Al Capone. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. The officers looked at me and says, you're under arrest. And I've told them before, when they do takedowns like this with me, and when they are playing a game of Nazis, I am going to go to my knees, I'll put my hands behind my back, and you want to be a Nazi, then do it the Nazi style. So they dragged me to the car, they interrogated me for hours, and then I was shipped with criminal charges of terrorism.
And brother Arthur, they interrogated you. What did they ask you?
Well, They wanted to know what happened in Kutz. They wanted to know who was the organizer. They wanted to know who, what, and you know, what I said, what I, whom I talked to, you know, stuff like this. Nothing really that I would be ashamed of. I mean, I was not hiding anything. I am proud to this day that I supported the convoy. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm actually very proud of being there with those people, being there with the true Canadians, true patriots, standing for our God and state-given rights under our Constitution and the Criminal Code of Canada. So that's what they were asking for. Who was there? What did I say? With whom I talked? And etc. After that, I was shipped to prison, stripped naked, placed in a solitary confinement where they kept me for over 30 days.
You were stripped naked going in for supposedly a search, is that right?
Yes, of course. And what a sham, what a lie. Here is how everything is working there. It's a total joke. It's for the show to dehumanize, to humiliate people. They would ask you to strip naked to look for contraband. But then they will take you to equipment like you have in the airports, a scanner, a body scanner, where they will be able to see everything, right? If you're smuggling they will be able to see it. So there is absolutely no need for a body, for this naked strip search. It's only being done to dehumanize people, to break you, to show you have no rights. You're nothing. You're like a dog, a lesser than a dog, which they told us on multiple occasions when we complained as inmates and said, you're not allowed to do this to us. We have our rights. And the jailers would say, here you have no rights whatsoever. It's what we say goes. So anyway, I spent over 30 days in solitary confinement. The first week, they would not give me my glasses. First, they would not give me any Bibles. Then they played the game. They gave me a Bible but no glasses. And that was going on for a week, 22 to 25 hours a day. I was not allowed to leave my cell. And then later on, I was being dragged to a concrete cells for I don't know what purpose. I was locked in a metal box. Then I was taken to another smaller metal box, like a telephone booth in England. For what purpose, I do not know. I was multiple times stripped, searched, naked, and taken to the body scanner. So that was the game they were playing with me. Also, one of the most shocking things during this encounter was that the inmates were telling me that the guards were inciting violence against me by guards. They were telling them, if you beat him up, then we'll give you extra time. If you beat him up, we'll give you extra this or that. One guard said to the two Muslims that were there in the same unit, and then later they came to me to testify. They said that the guard said, by accident, I'm going to leave Pavlovsky's door open in his cell. If you can beat him up or stop him or do something, we would greatly appreciate it. For that, we're going to give you some extra time out of your cell. Then, finally, I have found a huge favor with the inmates. I was praying for them, including the Muslims who were coming to me for prayers, Bible studies. Very soon, I had my entire unit at my tables in a common area where I was conducting church services. So that was absolutely incredible. When they were taking me out to the concrete cells, the people, the inmates were telling the guards, don't you dare touch him. We will be watching him when he comes back. If we see something, you have trouble. And when I was coming back, they were yelling, free Pastor Art, free Pastor Art. So that was absolutely incredible. After 44 days in Calgary, where they were cutting my telephone conversations, for 3 weeks I was not able to see my lawyer. I mean, it was absolutely a total abuse of power. What they were doing was illegal. And it was one purpose that later on I learned. They did this to me to break me. So when the Crown Prosecutor approached our lawyer, said that I can be out if I make a deal and plead to one little charge. So the rest of the charges they will drop if I will plead to just one little one. So that was the purpose to do this to me, so I would be so frightened, so I would be so psychologically disturbed that I would actually make a deal with the devil.
Well, but brother, I want to ask you a question, and I can't imagine. You were in solitary confinement all but 1 hour a day, basically, and let out to shower or make a phone call. Mentally, how did you handle that?
Well, I would be a liar if I would say to you it was easy. It was not. Especially the time where I was not able to read anything. So you're in confined space, alone. You can't talk to really anyone. There's nothing to do. And time in prison is your worst enemy. It's like on the outside, the time is my worst enemy. On the inside, the time is also your worst enemy because you don't have a clock. There's nothing to do. You're confined to nothing, a little space, and you don't know what to do. You go crazy. I've seen people going crazy, banging on the door, yelling, screaming, staring at one point, crying, having a mental breakdown. So I prayed and I said, God, please, you know, keep me sane. Like, don't allow them to break me.
Amen.
You know, that's what you do, but there's nothing else to do. It's not easy. I'm telling you. You do this, it's torture. I have been tortured in prison, and the presumption of being innocent, it was completely thrown out. I was already punished for the crime that I have not been found guilty yet. And then, when finally I'm out and finally I am conducting church services, we signed a petition to the director, finally he gave in, lets us out, then the guard is coming and calls me and says, Paloski, you have a visitor. On the 44th day of my prison, imprisonment, and then when I followed him, he leads me to admission where the sheriffs were waiting for me with shackles. They put shackles on my feet, handcuffs, and took me 3 hours away to another prison in Edmonton. And listen to this craziness. They placed me in Maxpod. Maxpod is a place for the most vicious, dangerous murderers that murdered inmates, attacked guards. The most dangerous people are placed on the third floor on the Maxpod. That's exactly when I end up. Freezing cold, shivering, it's winter. I'm telling you, it was horrible. When I said to the guard, I'm freezing here to death. I mean, I'm going to be very sick. I can't sleep. He looked at me and he says, well, at least you have a fresh air, and walks away. So the judge, the next day, we had a bail hearing, appeal, and the judge heard about this treatment, and I think that's what saved me, because they got scared. Our remand centers are owned privately, so those are private jails.
Hang on through the break, please, Brother Arthur. Hang on through the break. Folks, this testimony is powerful. I hope you're catching every word of this. Don't go away. Right back at the break.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nevada Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nevada a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
Folks, we are back again, and I hope that you're paying attention to this brother's testimony, the price he's paid for standing for truth, the things that you and I have taken for granted for so long that we're losing here, too. Believe me, the church has forgotten her duty to Christ, and that's all there is to it. They've sold out. They were put to a test under the COVID hoax. The church was tested as a whole worldwide, but in America and Canada especially, and they failed miserably. But for a few examples, and Brother Pastor Arthur is one of the examples of a man who said no to the king. We are commanded to meet together, and we're going to do it no matter what you say. And Brother, I want thank you for that, for your courage. And I know we were talking during the break. I ask you because when you were first arrested, none of the other pastors in the area come to help you. They just more or less just obeyed Caesar, so to speak, and let you pay the price for your faithfulness to Christ. But still, no other local ministers are coming to help you, are they?
No, and I think this is the saddest part of the story. That you would think that people will rise up, you would think that churches will come to the aid and the pastors will swarm the house and say, hey, we want to stand with you in this time of crisis. But I'm telling you, not one of those people either called me here or even visited me, and I'm 2 weeks outside. I am still in house arrest. That might change tomorrow, but for the past 2 weeks since I was released from prison, I was not allowed to leave my house, and only for a couple hours Saturday morning. So I think the church has failed. I think the church is being shaken, and God wants to get the church's attention, and they are not seeing it. I think they're terrified. The fear has gripped them. The blanket of terror has paralyzed them, and instead of being Jonah with a repentant heart that goes to Nineveh and proc- claims God's will, they're running away still from God's responsibility.
Oh, my. You know what's really sad, Brother Alter? Payday's coming for them also. It truly is.
Yes.
It's coming. It really is. And when you forsake God like that, believe me, folks, you deny Christ before men, he'll deny you before his Father. And, Brother, so what's tell us, you were in jail 51 days this time, 16th time in prison. What is next on the agenda? Tell us what, just go ahead and finish your story up. Tell us what you want us to know.
Well, I really believe that it's a payday. And not just a payday for the villains. I truly believe that we have entered a season when God is telling the Pharaohs of today, the Hamans of today, let my people go. Let my people go or else. But I also believe that it's a payback for our suffering. As you know the story of Passover, you know that Israelites were greatly repaid for the years of slavery when they pillaged the Egyptians,
true.
When God gave them silver and gold and fine clothes and stuff like this. So Egyptians received what was due to them for all those years of abusing their powers. But Israelites were greatly rewarded for the suffering. And I am waiting for many years right now for us to take the wealth of the wicked. Remember, we always heard about the transfer of the wealth from the wicked to the righteous, the wicked are storing the wealth. I've never seen it, actually. But I believe that God is going to equip his church, a real church, his people that were tested in the fire. Because you got to remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a very similar situation that we are today. They refused to bow before the order of the king, before the, you know, Hammonds of his time, before the Faucis and Clintons and Bidens and Trudeaus and Kennys of their time. And they were sticking like a sore thumb, and they refused to bow. For that reason, they end up in the fiery furnace. But let me remind the people something. In the fire, God dealt with their enemy. In the fire, because they were willing to go and pay the price like Jesus did. You see, it cost the Father his Son. It cost the Son his own life. If we as Christians really think that it's not going to cost us anything, we are not reading the same Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to go and pay the price. Off they go to the fiery furnace. Off God deals with their enemies. In the fire, Jesus shows up to set them free. In the fire, he purifies his church. In the fire, you have a testimony. In the fire is also your promotion. So we have to understand that we have to be willing to pay the price. God is purifying his church. He's testing his church. He's turning us into his diamonds. And then one day when we will be ready, I believe that God is going to pillage the Egyptians again and give us what we need for the last harvest, if you will, the greatest revival that this earth has ever seen before Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead. And I think, I really believe that we've entered a time when God is elevating, promoting those that have been found faithful. Because the Bible says, you know, when you received little, when you're faithful with little, God is going to give you more.
That's right.
He will increase your territory. So I have seen for too long righteous suffer and wicked being rewarded. I think that is changing. I think the righteous are going to be elevated and the pharaohs, the Hamans, are going to hang on their own devices.
A very good point. You made a very good point there. Christ told us if we're faithful in little things, he'll make us rulers over big things. And he's tested you. You have been tried as by fire. You truly have. And by the grace of God, you come out victorious on the other side. And that in itself is an amazing feat. So let's not discount that, not brag on you as anything special. You're a servant of Christ, but your faith and courage has kept your testimony alive and well. And the enemy hates you for that. You know that.
Yes, of course. And, you know, here is the thing. That when I was there and I started to conduct those church services and prayer meetings with the boys, and I would lay hands on them and pray, some guards were looking and were shaking their heads. The administration hated it. You know why they kidnapped me from Calgary's prison and shipped me 3 hours away to another prison for no reason whatsoever? except one. They didn't like that I was such a hero in my unit. I mean, the boys loved me. They came to me when I was locked in a solitary. They would come to the window just to pray with me, just to listen to a mini sermon that I had for them through my doors. They hated that, and they shipped me to the Max spot in Edmonton.
You were converting souls right in prison, which is what Paul did. That's remarkable. Go ahead.
That's right. And I was interfering with their drug dealing business, because you have to also remember, three times a day, the inmates, including me, were offered drugs, fentanyl, cocaine, and other heavy drugs. So,
they literally off your drugs in there.
Of course, three times a day. And, I mean, it's incredible, because I always thought that the drugs are coming from the outside, but actually the drugs are being pushed by the administration because they want us to sleep. They want us to just lay down and not be able to do anything. So I was offered others, inmates, three times a day, about five or six different drugs, including a different form of cocaine and fentanyl. So now I have been interfering with their business of giving drugs to the inmates, because I was telling inmates, don't take it. Don't be hooked on this garbage. That's what brought you here in the first place. So when I was taken to Edmonton, believe it or not, the next day they put me in a mental ward, in a psych ward. So I'm taken from the solitary confinement in Edmonton to a psych ward. When I asked the guards, what is this unit? Like, where am I? They laughed. They thought it was hilarious. And they said, you're in the wild, wild west. And this is a psych ward. And the doctor came a couple of days later, and he asked me to sit down with him. And he says, why are you here? And I said, that's a good question. I don't know. And he said, you're not supposed to be here. No one is supposed to be here unless we, the doctors, the Alberta Health Services, approves you to be here. So he said they came from administration, from the office of the director, just to pressure me, just to break me, just to frighten me, or perhaps to murder me, because they put me in a cell for a week with a schizophrenic that murdered his own brother with a machete. So I'm telling you, I was praying very hard for that young man, that I would not end up dead there. I said, God, have mercy on my soul. Do not allow this guy to hurt me, because he hears stuff, right? He sees things, and I don't want to be murdered here by this schizophrenic. So I prayed for him, and behold, God touched him in such a powerful way that I have found favor with him, and he joined my prayer studies and prayer meetings in that unit. So God was faithful. He kept me alive. He kept me sane. Of course, my wife, my son, my brother, his wife, I mean, my family stood like pillars. They were organizing the longest ongoing protest in the history of Canadian jail. 44 days, they were every day outside of prison doing a vigil, praying, worship, and preaching and having speeches against what was happening to me inside. So the place was bombarded on the inside and on the outside.
Were you letting guests in there?
Listen, I was not allowed to see my lawyer for 3 weeks. Never mind guests. They wouldn't allow my lawyer to come in.
Legally, they can't do that legally, right?
Of course they cannot. Everything they've done to me, they couldn't do it, but they did it. And
sure,
we complained
yes.
to the judge, and the judge ordered them. The judge had to order them that I would be able to see the lawyer, but that was like a month later. So it was incredible. My conversations with the lawyer when I had my time on the phone was listened and recorded. And when I had a meeting with my lawyer the first time, the guard was listening to our conversation. That's illegal as well. And our conversation was done on the phone. We had a plexiglass between us, and they were recording our conversation, which is a totally illegal illegal things. So they have broken many laws. I'm still facing dozens criminal charges. And when the last day they let me out, they told me to strip naked. I was searched again, spent hours on concrete. My cell was flipped. They were looking for something. I got no idea. Maybe they were brother. Maybe they were looking for freedom. But you see, I carry freedom inside my heart because that's Amen. The one thing that Jesus Amen. Gives. Amen. So I am still a prisoner. I'm still facing very serious charges. So I need your prayers. I need your support. If you can send an email to the premier, this crooked premier, Jason Kenney, or to the Minister of Justice, put some pressure on those people. And you can also support us.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You can also support us visiting our website, www.streetchurch.ca, streetchurch.ca, because we are feeding people on the streets. So you can become part of this fight. As I told you off air, I am planning to hire some pit bulls, some lions that will, tear those hyenas to shreds. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some good lawyers that we can start filing some lawsuits against this craziness, because it looks like those people are not stopping.
And brother, do you have the emails handy of the people that you want us to email?
I don't have them here, but they're very easy to find. Premier Jason Kenney, if you go Premier Jason Kenney contact, it's right on the internet. If you go Minister of Justice Taylor Shandro in the province of Alberta, his contact is right there. And let's flood those emails and let's make phone calls.
Yes, can we send funds to the address you gave me before?
Yes, it's streetchurch.ca, streetchurch.ca. You can use PayPal, you can do e-transfer, you can send a check. And we appreciate and we're very grateful for every support. Because as you know, those lawyers are extremely, extremely expensive. But I've decided with my wife, we talked about it, it's time to push back. It's time to make them accountable. And the only way we can make them accountable by filing some of those lawsuits and go after them.
And by the way, folks, we're not taking any phone calls tonight because he only has a few minutes left. I want to finish the story and what he's talking about. So the address you gave me, I think you gave it to me. I want to look at it very quickly and make sure there's something that we can send checks to. A lot of folks don't do PayPal. They don't do credit cards. They will send cash or checks. And I want to make sure I have the right one here. Let me look here very quickly. Okay. 1740 25A Street, Southwest. Is that right?
Yes. Calgary, Alberta.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, folks, that's a long address. I'll not give it on the air tonight, but if you'll call us in the office tomorrow, toll-free call. If you don't have long distance, call us at 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. Or if you do have long distance, please call us at 304-846-4448, 304-846-4448, and we'll give you the address to send $5, $10, $50, $500 to help a brother Archer. I know that I've tried to give a little bit in the past. I'll be giving some more, brother. I promise you, I'll be sending some more funds in for you and your legal fight. This nonsense, this absurdity that you're putting through right now, it makes me very angry. So right now you're under house arrest. Are any more charges pending right now with what's happening?
Yes, it's about a dozen criminal charges, very serious charges. I was charged with the offense like terrorism for interfering with the crucial infrastructure. The Crown Prosecutor stated during our bail hearing that I have caused Canadian economy hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. He claims that my speech, my church service, caused hundreds of millions of dollars worth of damages. I mean, the guy is insane. He said I am extremely dangerous. The Premier of Alberta, believe it or not, he comes on television and he says to the public that Pavlovsky incited people to commit acts of violence. And he says that on the record. I mean, this is a total insanity. You can watch the speech that I gave. Three times I'm telling people non-violent, peacefully, no guns, no swords. By the way, if you go to our website, streetchurch.ca, the address is right there, so people can copy and paste.
And folks, let's try to help him, please. I know you folks are probably like me. You're not wealthy, but you can maybe afford a few bucks. This gentleman needs our help. This brother in Christ needs our help. He is our brother. He is in the body of Christ, and folks, he needs our help. This could be me the next time, and it could be very well be me. Believe me, folks, I've been called before the FBI. I've been called before a federal grand jury already for what I've said in the radio. It won't be the first time I've been called before the authorities, but so far, by the grace of God, I never went to jail, and I pray I never do. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. We either stand together in this or we lose everything. It's your call. And you say, well, he's from Canada. I don't care if he's from Timbuktu. He's standing for truth and trying to do what's right. If we would glorify our Father in Canada and help our brother, maybe our Father will look at us in this country here, although we certainly don't deserve as a country. Maybe he'll look at us and say, well, I want to help them further our cause down there too. So don't abandon your brothers or your sister just because they're out of country. And brother, you are not allowed any visitors. You could call your wife and son once in a while. I mean, how much harassment did you face in prison, and did any of the guards or any authorities in there treat you like you were somebody?
Yeah, you know, and then I think this is a sad part. I asked the guards many times, why am I treated in such a way? And they were telling me, the good guys, they were telling me that everything is coming from the administration, from the political. I'm a political prisoner. All those things that have been done to me, the metal box, not being able to see the lawyer, and then the concrete cells, and then the kidnapping from Calgary to Edmonton, and Maxpod, the mental institution, all of that stuff was coming from the politicians. This is, I'm a political prisoner. They are doing this to me because they want to break me. That's what I was being told. So it's very interesting that the good guys in uniform that were supposed to be the good guys turn out to be the bad guys. And the image that society looks at and says, oh, those are the bad guys, were actually the good guys that were watching over my back. And they were telling the guards, if anything happens to the pastor, you watch your back because we're going to keep you accountable. And that was, I'm telling you, that was absolutely amazing. I had inmates coming to me crying. I had inmates coming to me saying that when they see the protests outside, and they said that's a real family. One guy tattooed from the top to the bottom, oh, a rough-looking guy. He comes and he puts his fist on his heart and says, this was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. This restores my humanity. I mean, it was really humbling to see that what God was doing in this very dark place. So keep the boys in prayer. We have to fight for them. This is not over. I am exposing this great corruption left and right, but we are still in the middle of the fight.
Well, brother, did you meet anyone else in there who was mistreated like you, who maybe was innocent as you were, that you thought truly that did not deserve to be there?
I've met a number of people like this that told me that they were beaten by the guards. One man came to me and he said they broke my arm for nothing. So there is this abuse of power mentality. Those guards, some of them, because there's some good guards, don't get me wrong, but many of those guards, they think they're above the law and they can do whatever they want, because like this, a guard that told us, you have no rights here, you're in prison. No, that's not true. Even prisoners have rights, and especially in a democratic country. So those people have power trip. They think that they can do whatever they want just because the society is not watching. Well, they made a mistake, brother, to put me in prison, because now I have seen firsthand what the system looks like from the inside, and I have become a very strong advocate for reformation, because that's what we need. We need reformation at every level, at every mountain, if you will, of influence in our countries.
Wow. Okay, folks, again, tomorrow, call me, please, and get the address. If you can send a few bucks to our brother's help, please do that. I don't generally get on the air and plead money too often. Just like I did with for the orphans in Uganda, you come through on that. What a beautiful, beautiful story. If y'all want to see the pictures of the food he bought and the receipts he paid, the proof he paid for with the funds we sent him, you email me at pastorbutch@startmail.com and I will see you in the pictures. But brother Arthur, I can promise for whatever it's worth, we're not going to forget you. I know we can't do a lot for you other than maybe send a few donations and send an email or make a phone call. But I want you to know that we're not going to desert you. We're here with you. And if you ever come down my way again, I'd like to be able to get with you somewhere and just talk to you a little bit and let you just shake your hand, because I think that you're a man that has deserved not praise, that all goes to God, but respect for what you stood for.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to thank everyone that prayed for me, supported us, my wife, my family. I mean, I would not be able to do it without the grace of God and with the backing of hundreds of thousands of people around the world that were praying for me, lifting me before the throne of grace. I felt it, kept me alive, and kept me sane. It gave me strength and the courage to keep going. So I want to thank you so much for everything you're doing, because you know, the villains, they don't want this story to come out. If I would not have the backing of the people, I think I would be murdered in prison. Sure. But they were afraid that the whole world will see it, hear about it, so they didn't want to do it. And, of course, I'm very grateful for that.
And you told me during the break that most of your support come from the United States. Is that true?
That's right. Yes.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. So, yeah. And none of the churches where you are have stepped up and donated to your cause that you know of?
Churches in the United States?
No, in Canada.
Very few, but there are some people that stepped in and supported us, but not many. I mean, a handful.
Okay. Brother Arthur, is there anything you want? You got about 1 minute left. Is there anything else that you want to tell the people?
I just want to give you a message of hope. Do not give up. We know how the story ends. No matter what the villains, the Hamans, the Nebuchadnezzars, the Hitlers of today are doing to us, remember, please remember, that we win in the end. The truth wins. God wins. When you are aligned yourself with the living God, you cannot lose. So stand strong. Remember that every man, that includes you and the villains, all of us will stand before the living God, and we will give an account for what we said and what we did. And don't lose hope. Keep roaring like a lion that God made you to be.
Amen. Amen. Brother Arthur Pulaski, thank you so much. And please, my friend, I'm not going to call you and bother you, but if you need me, you let me know, okay?
Thank you very much. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, my friend. God bless your heart. Folks, you heard it. See Knox tomorrow. Call, get his address tomorrow, okay? I'll make sure I'll have it here with me. You can call and maybe give a little donation helping with this cause. We'll see y'all in Knox tomorrow. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.